Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson, back with you after a couple weeks off on the news beat, and coming back to a rather dramatic scene here in North Idaho. This morning, I have a couple of interviews lined up with the public information officers for two of the wildfires that are burning in our area. And then at the end, I'll come back and we'll just run down some of the other headlines going on around town and around the county. But first, we're going to start by talking to, just got off the phone with Kevin Farmer from the Sunset Fire. He's actually on site at the Sunset Fire down burning on the southwest shore of the lake. And we'll go now to that recorded interview and then talk a little bit about Lightning Creek's fire complex after that. The Lightning Creek fire, I should say, after that. So hang on, and without further ado, it'll be my conversation with Kevin Farmer. I'm talking now to Kevin Farmer, who's on the Sunset Fire Information Team, about, of course, the Sunset Fire, which is of concern to many of our listeners here in North Idaho. Let's, I guess, start with the very basic picture of the fire. Where is this fire, and how big is it today, Kevin?
Thank you, Jack. Right now, the fire is located off of the off of Lake Ponderay. Currently, the size is at 3,208 acres. The crew, as of today, we're total number of personnel on this fire is over 700 people.
700 now, okay. That's up a little bit. When was the fire first reported?
I believe the fire was first reported on August 16th, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's right. This fire is really only like a week old. How did it grow in this past week? Tell me the kind of the story of this fire. How did it, I don't think it's listed, anyone knows how it started, but how did it take off, and then how did it get to the point now where it has stopped growing?
Well, as you know, and your listeners know, Jack, this time of year is extremely hot in North Idaho. Mm-hmm. The team I'm part of came in, afterwards. It was, to help take care of this fire. So we were not here in the initial, on the initial attack phase in the first few days. We came in, here on Saturday and Sunday, just this past week. But back to the conditions, it's hot, windy. Those are just two very big components when it comes to fire. I'm sure all your listeners are familiar with, and just, mm-hmm. Grew from there. Any other questions on that though?
It came, I was looking at like the kind of the news stories covering it. It expanded pretty rapidly, from start. But now it's holding steady at, about the 3,200 acre, size. I don't know. Is there anything more to say about how it spread or how it started? Do we know anything yet?
Well, the spread, you're dealing with some very steep topography in there, right? And so when you have those components of, steep faces and, high winds and, extreme heat, all those components, drier conditions again, those are those components right there that are going to really allow a fire to take off and move rather quickly. Yeah. Fortunate thing though is the early days of this, the initial attack crews were on it. Crews right now, like I said, that number over 700 people on it now, working really hard. Obviously a lot of air operations, getting water on it, and that's really kind of helped keep it in this position that it's in now. And that's what we're trying to do, is keep it in this position that it's in now.
Yeah. You mentioned about 700 people, more than 700 people are involved. What agencies are those people, or Who are those 700 people, and by what methods are they fighting this fire?
So dealing with many different agencies, Idaho Department of Lands, of course, U.S. Forest Service, local municipalities, some cooperators as well. Methods of fighting the fire include, you know, we've got hand crews in there in different sections, you know, in that very steep topography in that terrain, and that's where they're just really working really hard. Obviously, the air operations that I'm sure a lot of listeners are familiar with, you know, they've seen going on, getting water on it. Fortunately, you know, being right next to a lake, you know, they're able to make those quick rotations, if you will, getting water on the fire. So that's pretty much the tactic that's been used in some of those agencies that are involved.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. The fire is listed. I think I was looking for today's or the most recent bulletin. Did I see it listed as 6% contained?
As of right now, we have an 11%.
11%. Okay. 11% contained. I think we spoke to somebody else who was kind of explaining what that means, but what does that 11% mean in terms of the Sunset Fire?
You know, containment dealing with just getting line around it, you know, that it's not making any other movement. So when you dealing with an area as big as this, 3,208 acres, you know, which is obviously over, you know, a larger area, containment just meaning certain sections of that fire that we've got a really good strong hold on it and it's not making any progression, but that's 11% out of that 3,208 acres.
Yeah. What's the other 89% look like?
So, yeah, back to what I was saying with those crews, you know, this, again, steep topography, right? You know, so just getting people in there with thick brush, thick trees and whatnot. And so just getting into those sections, putting out hot spots, really making sure that there are, you know, burnable fuels and whatnot are taken out of the way to just so reducing the opportunity for the fire to just kind of increase or spread or potentially spot.
Okay. Let's see. How about let's talk impact on the community in terms of property damage and just general kind of, you know, interruption to life with the evacuations and stuff. How would you characterize the impact so far?
Impact, I think, has been, you know, pretty significant. You know, obviously we've had some folks, that have been evacuated. There's also been, you know, some loss to homes, loss to structures, which is, you know, just a terrible thing. And so with that evacuation, focusing on that for a moment, I mean, for people that want to get information on that, I'd strongly encourage, up-to-date information to go to the Bonner County Sheriff's Office website. That's bonnerso.org, bonnerso.org, to get information on evacuations. Currently, there are certain areas that are still in either the set or go level. And again, all that information is on their website. You know, there's maps and there's also lists of roads that'll define whether or not if you are in a set or go position for evacuation.
Just in terms of rough figures, do you know how many people have been evacuated and how many homes have been lost?
Let me get that right off of that. Okay. So we've got some staff back here. They were able to give me that sheet really quick. Apologies again on that delay there, Jack. So we have 26 structures that were lost due to the fire, and I believe the number is 600 of evacuees currently.
Oh wow!
And okay. Yeah, and while they're looking really quick, we'll double check and confirm that number for you.
Okay. A lot of people have been evacuated. You know, at all roughly how many people are in that either ready or set evacuation notice?
So the ready and set, and I just want to really encourage folks on that. I'm going to reiterate one more time, bonnerso.org. So that's going to have all of that information. So we've provided a list of roads for each of those categories. And the number is actually 630 evacuated. Mm-hmm. So back to what I was saying about, you asked about, areas and folks for the evacuation. Again, bonnerso.org, on there will be lists of roads under either set or go. Mm-hmm. And folks can get whether or not they are in the set condition or in the go condition. So it covers a little bit of an area. And as you can tell, I don't know if you've seen or not, with the area of the fire, there's just different pockets, if you will, for, communities. So it's just kind of important for folks to kind of check on the map if mm-hmm. they're looking for that information.
Well, let's see. Our time is short here, Kevin. What is looking ahead at the weekend? I guess what's most concerning, and can you tell us what's most concerning, and what's expected at this point for say the weekend and then the next week?
Most concerning right now for this upcoming weekend is we have really hot and dry conditions that are just continuing to, continuing through the weekend, right? And so going mm-hmm. back to when you asked about the fire, those are just, prime conditions. So obviously we have crews on the ground. We have air operations going on for the weekend since, you're getting in, we're still in boating season and recreating season, right? Mm-hmm. I just would strongly encourage folks to, keep safety in mind when they're out there recreating. We do have air operations going. It can be tempting to try to get close and see, air operations occurring. If folks are getting too close, it can inhibit our air operations and our firefighting efforts. So mm-hmm. Just please keep a wide distance, for safety for not only themselves, but especially too for the safety of the air operators and the fire crews. Yeah. And beyond that, we just, again, 700 people out here fighting and working extremely hard at getting this fire to a full containment, preventing it from any further spread.
Yeah. This fire, at this point in the season, is it correct to just assume this is going to be burning until basically the end of fire season?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Again, it all goes back to these conditions, right? So, hoping that either conditions can improve, but, teams are going to be out here on this fire until we have containment mm-hmm. and, until it's safe for folks to get back, evacuees to get back to their homes and for other folks to just be, not worry about that evacuation level. And as far as it continuing for, through September, whatnot, it is going to still continue to be hot. So I think it's just going to be a little bit of time before we can, call it out.
Sure. Anything else our listeners should know, Kevin?
I just really want to give a very, very warm, grateful thank you to the North Summit Church who helped host our community information meeting the other night. We had over 500 people in attendance, and the pastor and his team and staff over there were just incredibly gratiating. And we just want to thank the support from the community as well, from all the surrounding communities. A lot of good support coming out. And we just really want to, thank the church, thank the community in the area, Sheriff's Department as well, and the other municipal agencies, everybody that's helping to fight this fire aggressively and working really hard. So, and thank you very much for allowing the opportunity to talk about this today.
Sure. Of course. Yeah. Thank you, Kevin, for joining us. If people are interested in learning more, where would you send them?
So yeah, one more time on that. That's bonnerso.org, BONNERSO.org. That is the Bonner County Sheriff's Office. Mm-hmm. And they will have information that the team here is providing. Our information, all the information from the fire is obviously going through there, but you can go to the website. Another website to be able to check out, encourages nciweb.wildfire.gov. That is nciweb.wildfire.gov, for up to date, information there as well. Either one of those two sites and, get you what you want to, pardon me. Mm-hmm. Those two sites will get you what you need for up-to-date fire information.
Okay. Well, that's great, very helpful, super informative. Thank you very much, Kevin, for talking to us today about the Sunset Fire.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having us on.
Yep. Good luck.
Thank you, Keith.
Yep. I'm speaking now to Carrie Maddox. She's the public information officer on the Lightning Creek Fire. Good morning, Carrie. Thanks for talking to us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Let's, I guess, jump into the very basics. Where is this fire and how big is it?
So the Lightning Creek Fire is about 9 miles north of Clarkport, Idaho. It's been sitting at 2,515 acres for several days now, and we have 25% containment.
Okay. The fire was first reported July 30th, 2025, if I have that correct. How did it grow in the early days, and then how did it stop growing? What's kind of the story of the fire?
Yep, you have that correct. It started on July 30th from lightning. It was first reported late at night, and when crews arrived on scene, it quickly became apparent that night access without visibility in a snag patch, which is from a previous burn from the Cedar Fire from 2018, that it was just too dangerous conditions to try to enter in at night, with the fire being kind of interior and difficult access and deadly conditions from the snags. So it grew steadily over the next few days, even with resources just to, again, to the fuels that are on the ground. So fuels are anything that are flammable in the forest, and that's everything from grass to large timber and everything in between. That area has really heavy snag load. So in some areas, I've heard it was 6 to 8 feet deep of dead and down logs that had come down and slid down the hill. So as you can imagine, that's a lot of fuel, right? It's like a bonfire at the base of the hill, and fighting that was very difficult. So we had resources on it from day one. We had the shop crew on it, our hot shop crew on it, I believe, from day two. And it just continued to kind of see steady growth because of the steep terrain and the difficult fuels that they were dealing with. And so that brings us to today, where we really haven't seen growth in several days. The last is the red flight, which picks up heat on the ground from the air. Didn't pick up much heat. They use an aerial drone for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was when the decision was made to hand this fire back to the district because they, again, had the capacity to take care of it. So we went from, you know, about 150 people back down to about 20, and today we're at 15. So hopefully folks understand that that reflects the situation out on the ground and that we right-sized resources to what the case is on the ground. A lot of people that were assigned to this fire were reassigned to the Sunset Fire when that kicked off last week. It's also notable that the wind event that pushed the Sunset Fire the first day or two had little to no effect on the Lightning Creek Fire, if that gives folks another picture of how things are really looking out on the hill.
Fire. So who is right now, who is fighting the fire? Like what agencies are involved? Who are the crews that are out there, and how many people?
So this fire has been reassigned back to the Sandpoint Ranger District.
Mm-hmm.
And the incident commander is an engine captain there, Kelly Tucker. And there are 15 people assigned to the fire. So that's approximately 3 engines and a few other folks.
Mm-hmm.
So like I mentioned, the amount of people is reflective of the fire activity. If we needed any more, like if you asked about what this weekend's heat might bring, and heat is always a watch out. We don't have a red flag warning, but, you know, as things warm up, any flammable material is going to dry out further and be more likely to burn. So the heat just means we need to keep a more careful eye, and the incident commander knows how to call in resources and when, if there's any need for that. So engines, additional aviation, other firefighters are available for support if needed.
Okay. It's just from the fire's listed as 25% contained. What does that mean in layman's terms? What are we talking about when it's 25%?
I'm glad you asked that question, because folks are likely to see that number stay fairly static for a while, just because of the definition of containment. So containment just reflects the portion of the fire that is directly adjacent to containment line, and they expect that line to hold. So this 25% portion is the perimeter that has reached Lightning Creek Road, which they used as a containment line. It's often best to use features that already exist because it's better on the landscape. They're often, a road is much bigger than a hand line is, so it's more effective. So they start with the features that are already in place, and that Lightning Creek Road is about 25% of the perimeter of the fire. So lots of other work has been done on the ground, but until the fire reaches that containment line, shaded fuel break, stream, whatever folks are using as a defensible line, it's not going to refuck containment. There are other terms to use, like completion, like the amount of work that is planned to be done around the fire. But in this case, and as a full suppression fire, the term is containment, but it's, like you mentioned, kind of difficult to understand because it's at 25% and that hasn't changed.
But
it won't, but that's not cause for concern either.
Okay. So what is the, I think I understand then what the 25% that is contained looks like. What's the rest of this? What's the remaining 75% then? If it's, you know how that fire is going to behave, or you can pretty much predict how that fire is going to behave and it's not cause for concern?
So the rest of the fire's perimeter is burning mostly within that Cougar Fire burn scar that I mentioned. And anytime it bumps into the green around it, it's not really making much progress or consuming. So that's why I mentioned that the warm weather is definitely a cause for watching out for additional fire behavior. But so far, they haven't seen that.
Okay.
You know, as of last night, even with the warm weather this week, the fire is not out by any means, but it's also not growing appreciably. And the edges of that fire, that remaining 75%, is not a wall of flame. It's not even the 2,500 acres that are out there. It's not 2,500 acres on fire. That's what it's burned through in varying levels of intensity, not always 100%. There's little islands of unburned fuel that can go and burn, and folks will see some smoke from that. So it's really kind of a complex mosaic out there. But the heat that they're seeing is not concerning.
Okay. How about impact on the community? What's the, in terms of just property damage and interruption, you know, to people's day-to-day life, people been, who's been evacuated, who's, you know, what's,
sure.
Like, how, yeah, go ahead. How, that's not exactly a question, but I think,
no,
can
I know
you describe that?
Yeah. So there have been no evacuations associated with the Lightning Creek fire. However, I would not say there have been no impacts. I understand that any natural disaster impacts a community. I've been evacuated several times, and even when I'm not evacuated, I know that a fire burning adjacent to my home is concerning. We know that there have been smoke impacts to the community, and that seems to continue with that Sunset fire being upwind as well. And it's wildfire season, so I think the biggest impact right now is smoke and probably stress, and that's understandable. You know, our job is to provide timely and accurate information, to be available if people need to ask questions, to figure out what's going on out there on the ground. But as of right now, there should be very minimal impacts to the community other than just the stress of knowing that there is a fire that's uncontained out in the landscape. It has burned no private property. It's 100% on National Forest System lands.
Okay. I guess, so looking ahead then at the forecast, I guess let's go worst case, best case. What's most, you know, what's most concerning with the dry weather coming up? Is there anything, you know, anything you're that people are really watching out for? Anything that, you know, if things don't go according to plan, that that could cause this to become, you know, to that could cause the progress to be reversed and could cause the wildfire to start, you know, to start demanding more resources, I guess.
You know, it's hard to predict what a natural disaster is going to do, but we do have folks that have, you know, that are out there every day looking at it. And from what I understand, there is very little cause for concern.
Okay.
But we're not walking away from it. So there is not no concern, right? And like I mentioned, hot weather, hot, windy, dry are the three watch outs, and that creates red flag weather. We do not have red flag weather forecasted, but it is warm through the weekend and the fire will be south through the weekend. It looks like it cools off a little bit after that. But really what drives fires to do unpredictable things is wind. So they check the weather every day. We get spot forecasts tailored directly to that little draw, which has different weather than anywhere else in the panhandle. You know, every little draw does. So they do what's called a spot weather forecast every day to find out if there's anything they need to be looking out for, a switch in the wind, high winds, anything like that.
So if everything goes according to plan, what's the expectation for, I guess, say, the coming week? And how long can we expect this fire to burn at this point?
So what the size of this fire is, containment will not be reached until either the fire reaches the containment lines that I mentioned, or we have a season-ending weather event, which can happen anytime in the late fall.
Anything else our listeners should know before we let you go, Carrie?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind people that the Lightning Creek road closure is still in place. So that extends from Morris Creek Bridge north to the crossing at Quartz Creek. We've had several violations, and people who violate these closures not only put themselves at risk, but they're also causing a distraction for the firefighters who should be focused on the fire and instead are worried about people on a road that's incredibly dangerous due to snag and rolling hazards and things like that. So we'd really appreciate people just stay out of that stretch of Lightning Creek Road until we're finished up working in there.
Okay. If people want more information about the fire, where should they go?
So the one national source for all things wildfire is INCIWEB, INCIWEB, or people are welcome to call me at 208-557-8813. That's the Idaho Panhandle National Forest Fire Information Line.
Okay. Thank you very much, Carrie Maddox, and we'll leave it there. Thanks for talking to us about the Lightning Creek fire this morning.
Great. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Bye. We're back live in the studio here. You're listening to North Idaho News of the Week on 88.5 KRFY. That's really our allotted time, so I'll just have to run down a couple of noteworthy headlines. And do tune in next week. I expect I'll have to run this by my co-hosts, but I expect we might go long next week talking in depth about land use and housing, where we've got there's a big story in this week's Sandpoint Reader, and more coverage expected in next week's newspapers as well of some land use issues. Also, we are now in election season officially for the municipal elections anyway. I believe when last I checked, there was only one person who had declared their intention to run for City of Sandpoint City Council. There will be three seats open and City Council in November. Joshua Torres has put his officially filed for his candidacy for Sandpoint City Council. Some county news, some county notes. Bonner County Planning Director Jake Gabel has announced his intention to step down from his position by September 12th. He will take a position with the city of Priest River as their planning and zoning administrator. The position of planning director for Bonner County is now posted on their website and will remain posted until filled. Gabel has worked there for the past 3 years, and among other things, in further county planning news, has spent the last some months, I believe since May, working hard on closing some loopholes in terms of minor land divisions. There will be a public hearing on August 27th devoted to that topic of minor land divisions, where members of the Planning and Zoning Commission or the Planning Commission for the county will potentially vote to recommend approval of the proposed changes to Bonner County Revised Code 12. We are currently in an emergency moratorium on minor land divisions in order to give this commission time to close some loopholes in the current code that have led to unintended subdivisions without proper infrastructure. So August 27th is the meeting on that, and possibly the vote on that as well. It's budget time. Bonner County Board of Commissioners voted unanimously on August 18th to adopt the county's 2026 fiscal year budget of $78,048,046. The overall budget is $164,558 less than fiscal year 2025. The city of Sandpoint adopted its budget as well. The budget for the city of Sandpoint is set at $49.9 million. We'll get some reporters in here, I believe, to break down those budgetary figures hopefully next week or in the coming weeks. There's more to talk about, including, as I mentioned, there was a meeting discussing land use and affordable housing. The interim Idaho Legislature Committee on Land Use and Housing, which has been meeting around the state over the summer, met at Sandpoint City Hall on August 14th with a special focus on affordable housing and heard presentations, including from the Kinnickzu Land Trust and Housing Solutions Partnership and the Panhandle Affordable Housing Alliance, talking about, among other things, land trusts as part of a solution for affordable workforce housing and the needs of the community. We'll talk more about that next week, so tune in next Friday. Another little programming note here for KRFY. We're going to attempt to provide daily updates on at least the Sunset Fire until that fire is, if not out, at least under control, and the personnel involved start scaling back their operations. Look for those at noon. We'll just be getting updates from the Idaho Department of Lands and the Sheriff's Office, and trying to briefly summarize them and put them into sort of a 2-minute update. That'd be daily at noon during the fire, at least during while the evacuation orders are in effect, and monitoring the progress of the firefighting efforts and of the development of the fire itself. Daily at noon here on 88.5 KRFY. We may rebroadcast them later in the day as well, which is certainly an important time during the heat of the day, is an important time for people to be aware of fire information, but also the most accurate information comes from those fires in the morning, so we want to get those out as soon as possible. Daily at noon for an unspecified length of time. Okay. Thank you for listening to North Idaho News of the Week. I will not be alone next week. Expect to hear me with, I believe we have Will Love back with us one more time before he goes back to school. And we'll be talking to probably some reporters about what's going on in the county and what some affordable housing, general housing, and land use and property issues and subdivisions and things of that nature. Look for that next week on Friday. Okay, time now for Otto's Eclectic Mix, and thanks for listening to North Idaho News of the Week.